The Animals Sick with the Plague. Fable number 1 from Book 7 of the Fable de La Fontaine. Translated by Frederick Colin Tilney. Read for you by T.Q. Townsend. One of those dread evils which spread terror far and wide, and which heaven, in its anger, ordains for the punishment of wickedness upon earth. A plague, in fact, and so dire a one as to make rich in one day that grim ferryman who takes a coin from all who cross the river Acheron to the land of the dead. Such a plague was once waging war against all the animals. All were attacked, although all did not die. So hopeless was the case that not one of them attempted to sustain their sinking lives. Even the sight of food did not rouse them. Wolves and foxes no longer turned eager and calculating eyes upon their gentle and guileless prey. The turtle doves went no more in cooing pairs, but were content to avoid each other. Love, and the joy that comes of love, were both at an end. At length, the lion called a council of all the beasts and addressed them in these words. "My dear friends, it seems to me that it is for our sins that heaven has permitted this misfortune to fall upon us. Would it not be well if the most blameworthy among us allowed himself to be offered as a sacrifice to appease the celestial wrath? By so doing, he might secure our recovery. History tells us that this course is usually pursued in such cases as ours. Let us look into our consciences without self-deception or condoning. For my own part, I freely admit that in order to satisfy my gluttony, I have devoured an appalling number of sheep. And yet, what have they done to me to deserve such a fate? Nothing that could be called an offense. Sometimes, indeed, I have gone so far as to eat the shepherd, too. On the whole, I think I had better render myself for this act of sacrifice. That is, if we agree that it is a thing necessary to the general good. And yet, I think it would only be fair that everyone should declare his sins as well as I. For I could wish that, in justice, it were the most culpable that would perish."
"Sire," said the fox, "you are really too yielding for a king, and your scruples show too much delicacy of feeling. Eating sheep, indeed! What of that? A foolish and rascally tribe! Is that a crime? No, 100 times no. On the contrary, your noble jaws did but do them great honor. As for the shepherd, it may fairly be said that all harm he got he merited, since he was one of those who fancy they have dominion over the animal kingdom."
Thus spake the fox, and every other flatterer in the assembly applauded him. Nor did any seek to inquire deeply into the least pardonable offenses of the tiger, the bear, and the other mighty ones. All those of an aggressive nature, right down to the simple watchdog, were something like saints in their own opinions. When the donkey stood forth in his turn, he struck a different note. Nothing of fangs and talons and blood.
"I remember," he said, "that once in passing a field belonging to a monastery, I was urged by hunger, by opportunity, by the tenderness of the grass, and perhaps by the evil one egging me on, to enter and crop just a taste, about as much as the length of my tongue. I know that I did wrong, having really no right there."
At these words, all the assembly turned upon him. The wolf took upon himself to make a speech proving without doubt that the donkey was an accursed wretch, a mangy brute who certainly ought to be told off for sacrifice, since through his wickedness all their misfortunes had come about. His peccadillo was judged to be a hanging matter. "What? eat the grass belonging to another? How abominable a crime! Nothing but death could expiate such an outrage.
And forthwith they proved as much to the poor donkey. Accordingly, as your power is great or small, the judgments of a court will whiten or blacken your reputation.